show you don't want to miss.
The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
As promised, we are set this weekend for a full recap on Super Bowl 46, and we are so thrilled to have with us Michael Hawley out of Boston. He, of course, is the co-host on the Midday Sports Talk radio show, The Big Show, on WEEI. He also is a well-known sports writer and has a brand new book that's just been released. You got to go out and get a copy of it. It is titled The War Room, The Legacy of Bill Belichick and the Art of Building the Perfect Team. Welcome aboard, Michael. It's your first time on the Big E Sports Show. We're glad to have you with us.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I hope it's a successful debut for me. I'm such a highly rated, well-known show.
There you go. Hey, well, listen, before we get underway and talk about the Super Bowl, you know, there's big news coming out of Boston. It certainly was a very big week for Paul Pierce, passing Larry Bird for second on the Celtics' all-time scoring list. I mean, you really have to appreciate this historic achievement because it's more than just longevity and having good health in the NBA.
Well, you know, there are a few things you have to consider here when you're talking about Paul Pierce. Number one, when you're number two on the Boston Celtics' all-time scoring list, that's really saying something when you think about all the great players who have played for the franchise. I mean, number one on the list is John Havlicek. And just to put this into perspective, there are some people going over their top five. You know, when Pierce goes to number two, they say, okay, give me your all-time starting five on the Celtics. And you hear Bird, and you hear Russell, and you hear Cousy, and you hear Dave Cowens sometimes. You hear Sam Jones. The leading scorer at times doesn't make people's top five because they're just so... They've been so fortunate over the years to have so many great players. And also for Pierce, you know, he went through some adversity early in his career. In his third year, going into his third season, he was stabbed in a nightclub incident. A doctor said at the time that if he had been stabbed, if it had been an inch to the left, he would have lost his life. So
wow.
he's been very fortunate. And give him credit. After that happened, he's a Los Angeles guy. He grew up as a Laker fan. That's the irony. A L.A. guy. He went through this in Boston. He never asked to be traded. And now people look at him as kind of like an honorary Bostonian and maybe even an accidental Angelino. You know, so it's been a great ride for him.
Yes, and Paul Pierce, certainly very resilient, as you were talking about. I completely forgot about that stabbing that had happened. But what, in your mind, Michael, is the criteria when you rank him as far as you had said, you know, there's been so many great ones that have been a part of the Celtics organization, you know, Bill Russell, Larry Bird, you know, Kevin McHale even, too.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a good question. You know, I was debating with my co-host yesterday, and his criteria, he said, you've got to be an MVP of the league. To make his all-time Celtics starting five. He's got to be considered the best player. So he didn't have Pierce in his all-time five because Pierce has never been an MVP. But for me, I just look at it and say, who do I need in my five? My five would be Russell, Bird, McHale, Pierce, and probably Hondo and John Havlicek. And I just think, you know, guys like, you know, the four guys I mentioned outside of Pierce, those guys, they played with other Hall of Famers, and they all were selected by Red Auerbach. So they had one of the best general managers in the history of sports, not just basketball, and they had a lot of support with them. Paul Pierce didn't play with the Hall of Famer until 2007, 2008, when Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett came to town.
So right.
He was always an exceptional player on some pretty mediocre teams, and you knew he was the only option for them, and he still continues to put up big numbers. And they weren't just, a good player putting up numbers on a bad team. He really was playing good basketball, but he didn't have a lot of help around him. I put him in my all-time five.
Okay, I respect that. I mean, and we know Paul Pierce, you know, is a great scorer, and of course we also have to mention he was named the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. I mean, posted some nice totals, but what about defensively? I mean, your assessment on him on the defensive end of the floor, Michael?
Well, he's improved defensively, but at the beginning of his career, he was nothing special, but he always used to debate that. And I remember talking to him about it, and he said, do you ever notice that most guys who make the all-defensive team are on good teams? He said, you know, you don't see, there are some really good defensive players on bad teams, but they don't get that recognition because their teams don't win. So I said, oh, that's interesting, but I can see you play. We went back and forth on it. I can see you playing some better defense. And he really has improved defensively in the last 5 or 6 years. He's an above-average defender now, and I would describe him as average to below average the first 5 or 6 years of his career. But to his point about good defensive players being recognized when they go to contending teams, we saw Bruce Bowen here in Boston in the early stages of the Rick Pitino regime, and he was the same defender then that he was when he was winning those championships with the Spurs, but he was never recognized.
Right.
Because he was on a bad team.
You're listening to the voice of Michael Hawley. He is New York Times best-selling author. He has a brand new book out. We've kind of digressed a bit. It is, of course, titled The War Room, The Legacy of Bill Belichick and the Art of Building a Perfect Team. We are going to hit on that here in just a moment. Just one more quick Celtics question. Just give us an update on the Celtics forward on Jeff Green, his injury situation. It is quite serious. What is the latest?
Yeah, it was a shocking situation when you found out during training camp that Jeff Green wasn't available, and I think we can all tell in the media here in Boston that it was something pretty dire, because they kept moving back the timetable on when they were going to update us on what the situation was. So I thought it felt pretty sinister. It felt it felt like it was a big-time situation, a bad situation. He had heart surgery about 3 weeks ago. He is no longer under the Celtics' control. If he does resume his basketball career, he will come back as a free agent, and a free agent coming off a heart surgery. So you just hope that, number one, you hope that everything goes well for him personally. As a civilian, forget about the NBA.
Absolutely.
Secondly, that if he comes back to the NBA, somebody will give him a shot and allow him to prove himself. Because just imagine, you know, you're a free agent and you have no body of work to show for, the last time he played, it will be 2 years. 2 years since he played, so it's probably going to be a very, very low-risk contract from the perspective of a team. And you hope he can come back and play at a decent level.
Well, and Jeff Green, such a wonderful young man, as you said, you know, continues to be in our thoughts and prayers. And, you know, we think about even throughout the NBA, we've seen players that have had like an open heart surgery. Each one's situation's different. But I remember Atan Thomas, you know, his time with the Oklahoma City Thunder, and he was able to even make a comeback.
Yeah, Thomas is on that list, and Ronnie Turiaf is on that list as well. You know, guys who have had it, but as you know, everybody's a little different, and everybody can't bounce back from that. So we'll just have to see what happens with Jeff Green.
Okay, we're going to segue here. We're going to start talking about your brand new book that is out. And despite the Super Bowl loss, Bill Belichick, he does have an impressive resume. Only head coach, what, in NFL history to win 3 Super Bowl champions in his 4-year span. That is quite a legacy. How has he been able to build consistently winning teams at such a high level?
Well, I think the number one, well, you have to have 3 things happen to really be a consistent contender, not necessarily winning the championship every year, but to be in championship contention. I mean, the number one thing is you got to have a vision for what type of team you're trying to build. If I say to you, a Dallas Cowboys player from the 1970s, you have a vision for what that means. If I say to you, Pittsburgh Steelers right now, you probably are imagining a linebacker who is rushing the quarterback and is a rugged player, because those teams have identified what kind of system they want and what kind of players they want to fit into that system. And I think Bill Belichick has done that with the Patriots. The second thing is you got to have stable ownership. When Belichick was in Cleveland, he had no idea what Art Modell was going to do. Art Modell was fighting with the city. He was trying to get them to pay for renovations at Cleveland Stadium, old Cleveland Stadium. And then ultimately moved the franchise to Baltimore. So you really can't develop anything if you don't have the backing of strong ownership. And the third thing is a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, let's face it, there's a little luck that comes into this as well. I mean, when you have Tom Brady, you have those kind of quarterbacks, Tom Brady, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, it makes it a lot easier to complete that mission of being in contention every year. I think if you have one of those guys, you have at least 8 wins. before you sell a hot dog, before you open up the parking lot, you know your team's going to win eight games and you got a great quarterback. And then the rest of that is just is game planning and strategizing.
Tell us, Michael, about the process as far as putting this book together, because it is a compelling read, because you really do detail and go behind the scenes and you talk about the whole journey.
Yeah, I really wanted to focus just on the relationship. Above everything else, the relationship of three friends who ultimately wound up in three different cities. That will be Bill Belichick in New England, Scott Pioli in Kansas City, and Thomas Dimitroff in Atlanta. They started off their careers together in Cleveland. They moved on from Cleveland to the Patriots, won those three championships in the four-year span, as you mentioned. And then they decided to go their separate ways for different reasons. And Dimitroff always wanted to run his own franchise, and he left first in 2008. And Scott Pioli had worked with Bill Belichick for 16 years, and they finally decided that it was time to build his own operation in the Midwest. So what you have now, essentially, is the original Patriots system operating in the Northeast. You have Patriots Midwest in Kansas City, and you have Patriots Southeast in Atlanta. So I was able to peek behind those doors that are usually closed and see how these general managers, and in the case of Belichick, this head coach, how they come to make decisions and what they value when it comes to draft day and player acquisition.
Okay, Michael, quickly, where can you direct our listeners to go and get a copy of this?
Well, I want to say bookstores. I love bookstores throughout America, so I always tell people, number one, if you have a favorite bookstore, go there. If they don't have the book, tell them to order it. It will be there in a couple of days. If you don't want to go through that, just go to Amazon.com. You can have the book sent to you. You can pick it up on your Nook, on your Kindle. So there are a couple of ways of getting the book. I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay, Michael, my final question for you is, you've had, you know, a whole week to kind of digest and kind of reflect back on Super Bowl 46. What went wrong? And I got to ask you, too, being on Sports Talk Radio, how are the Patriot fans? How are they doing?
They're not over it yet.
Oh.
It's been a topic all week and probably will leak into next week as well. But I think if I had to put a bumper sticker on it, it's very simple. Lack of execution came back to bite them. You know, think about the first play of the game, the offensive play of the game for the Patriots. There's a safety by Tom Brady. There was a turnover the Patriots could have had. Instead, they had 12 men on the field. It nullified that turnover that they would have had, and that would have put them in good position. Giants fumbled three times. They recovered all three fumbles. And then at the very end of the game, you know, the Patriots getting ready to go into their four-minute offense to kind of salt the game away. A nice pass, not a perfect pass, but a good enough pass from Tom Brady to Wes Welker. Welker drops it, and that turns the game around and puts it in the hands of Eli Manning, and the rest is history. So we're a little spoiled here in New England. Been to five Super Bowls in a dozen years, and when you win those first three, I think people think it's a birthright that when you get to the Super Bowl, you're supposed to win it. So we've had all sorts of theories, all sorts of conspiracy theorists coming out of the woodwork on this loss.
Well, I am curious, though, too. Why is everybody being so hard on Tom Brady's wife?
So they're jealous.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Jealousy. He's got a charmed life. He won Super Bowl. Has endorsements. He's got tons of money. They're building a beautiful mansion in Brentwood. You know, people want that life, so they're hating on him right now.
The title of his book is The War Room, The Legacy of Bill Belichick and the Art of Building the Perfect Team. As I said in the interview, it is a compelling read. Go out and get a copy of it. And we have had such a pleasure visiting with Michael Hawley. Congratulations on your new release. It sounds like in the background you're doing a little daddy duty this morning.
That's right. I got two of them.
Love it.
One. And I think they spoke up because they wanted to get a little shout out on the radio. So, hey, thanks for being patient. And I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you so much. Have a great show. We'll talk to you here real soon. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks.